I'm really excited about this semester. We really try to be intentional about kind of the flow of these midweeks and that they really work together. And tonight we're just going to really dive in and really get anchored together. Amen? So we're going to take some time tonight to look at some key anchor scriptures that will inspire us to be more like Jesus and have a heart for the lost.
Come on, bro.
But before we do that, pray with me. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much that you have called us to a new life, God.
Yeah.
That as we go into this fall, that unlike millions of students, God, that we know what we're here for, God. That we know what our purpose is, God. We know that there's a better way to live life, God. But Father, just pray as we gather here tonight that we will just remember how good we have it. And that we won't take it for granted, God, but that we will just have a heart that, man, we want to pay this gift forward of salvation. God, I pray that whatever is distracting us tonight, that you will help us remove it, God. That we will listen to your Holy Spirit tonight as we all just prepare our hearts for this fall and to love you together, God. We love you. We praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so I believe that this fall, that God is going to start a movement in our campus ministry. I believe that God has something so special planned for this area of northern New Jersey, and he wants you to be a part of it. And I think we're about to get our minds blown this fall. God desires to show up big time in our ministry as we head back onto our campuses and meet thousands of people. But if we truly want to change lives this fall, guys, we have to be anchored in the mission. Amen?
Yes.
We have to be anchored in the mission, which is our title tonight. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 35. So in verse 35, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Point number one, guys, is that we need to see through his eyes.
Yeah.
We see clearly here in verse 35 that Jesus was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God throughout all the towns, right? All the people. And if you found Jesus during the day, you would find him sharing the good news or healing people physically. That's what you would find Jesus doing. He was teaching, he was preaching, he was healing. And I really want us to pay attention to verse 36 here. It says, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. You know, when you look out onto your campus, what do you see? What do you see at your university? When you look out at all the people around you each day, what do you see? Do you see lost sheep? Do you see lost souls? The first step in being anchored to the mission is seeing people the way God sees them, guys. We must learn to see people through the eyes of Jesus, the eyes of God. You see, God desires to bring his children back home. I want to give you guys a little scenario here. Imagine meeting a father, meeting a dad, who is desperately searching for his children because they're lost. They're physically lost. He's lost his kids. And he's been praying to find them for years and that they would come home and be with him again. And you meet this father. You meet this dad. And he gives you their names. He describes for you what his children look like. He even gives you photos of them so you can really identify them if you come and see them, if you come upon them. And imagine one day, after you've met this Father, you're walking around town, you're walking wherever, and you see one of these children that this dad described. This frantic, desperate dad. And you spot one. And you check the description real quick to make sure you're not crazy. And you're like, I think that's the kid this father was talking about. You know, naturally, I think all of us in this room would immediately call up the father, let him know we found his lost child, and we would help get this child back home to be with his dad, right?
Yeah.
That's immediately what you'd do. Maybe you drop the phone because you're so excited. But here's the deal, guys. God's lost children are everywhere.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. They're all around you on your campus. And God doesn't need a picture of them because He knows them already. He knit them together in their mother's womb. And He knows their story. And God is using us to bring them back home. But the sad thing is if we don't see with His eyes, we will walk by God's children all the time. We will walk by them and continue to break God's heart. If we don't have compassion on the lost and see the need, we won't be compelled to meet the need because we don't see it. So guys, we got to train ourselves to see the lostness, to see the lostness in people's lives. You know, we got to look past the smiles. You got to look past people having fun on your campus. We have to realize that spiritually people are bankrupt, literally dying to find their Father, to find God. And listen, the very people that you meet, that you're going to meet these next 2 weeks, that say, no, I'm fine, they're smiling, they're enjoying life, they have their friends with them, they're like, no, I'm good, I don't need God, I don't need to come. Those are the very people that desperately need God. Those people right there. So you can't just count them off and say, oh, I guess they're fine, I guess now is not the time. No, they need Jesus. They need God. Amen? You see, God placed you on a rescue mission to rescue His sons and daughters and so that they could find this Father that they forgot. Why does Jesus have pity or compassion on these people? Well, it says it. Again, it says they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw them as harassed and helpless. Guys, those are some strong words. Am I right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to say that about something, about someone, if you go to someone and say, you seem like harassed. Like, that's a serious thing to say to somebody. Hey, you seem like helpless. Like, that hits people. And Jesus uses it. He sees that they were harassed and helpless. I want to help convince us tonight that people are actually harassed and helpless. Guys, here's what the stats say. 1 in 5 college students are so stressed that they will contemplate suicide.
Wow.
So as you're sharing your faith and you meet 5 people, one of them is thinking about taking their own life. 1 in 12 actually plan their suicide attempt. Doesn't mean they go through with it, but they think about how they would do it. You know, in the most recent statistics from the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, it indicates that drinking by college students ages 18 to 24 contributes to an estimated 1,519 student deaths each year. In addition to that, there's an estimated 696,000 assaults by another student who has been drinking. And 97,000 cases of sexual assault or date rape each year. And those are God's children. Harassed and helpless. Guys, they don't have a shepherd. Guys, our campuses are desperate for the love of Jesus. Desperate for a good shepherd, for true life. They might not know it, but deep down inside, their souls are crying out, help me, help me, help me, God. Help me, Jesus. And they're saying, help me, maybe in different ways, going to sin. Right. But they're saying, help me.
Yeah.
And we got to look past the facade. Amen, guys? Here's just a suggestion for all of us. Before you start sharing your faith this semester on campus, take a moment just to walk slowly on campus. Or sit down, take a seat, and just look out on your campus until you take in the lostness. Until it really stirs your heart. Does that make sense, guys? Because before you just go for it, you got to really see it the way Jesus sees it. Amen?
Amen?
Watch and look and see your campus until your heart breaks. So we must see through His eyes. Amen, guys? Guys, turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. You guys with me?
Yeah.
We are getting anchored in the mission tonight. Acts 26, we're going to pick up here in verse 16. So, this is Paul having this dialogue with King Agrippa. And Paul's basically sharing his conversion story and what Jesus has called him to do. But when we read this here, I want you guys to imagine that like Jesus is saying this straight to you. This scripture that we're about to read, okay? Jesus is like literally saying this right here, right now to you. Verse 16. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you've seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. Isn't that such an inspiring passage of Scripture? Like Paul's like, here's what he told me to do. And he's like, I wasn't disobedient. I did it. And that's why I'm here right now. Point number two, open their eyes. You know, I think sometimes we can so easily forget how amazing the mission is.
Right.
And that God lets us in on this as sinners. Let me ask you a question. Are you grateful for the mission? Like, ask yourself that. Are you grateful for the mission? Because if you truly are, your life's going to show that. But Paul here, he's telling King Agrippa about this encounter with Jesus and that he's been called to this mission. And there's a couple things we can get from this passage. Number one, I love that he says this. He says, Jesus called me, he says, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And check this out, from the power of Satan to God. Like the power of the devil keeping a hold on somebody through their sin, like that power that God would let you in on someone's life to break off those chains and now lead them to, now you're in God's power.
Yeah.
Now you're unstoppable. Freeing them from slavery to new life. That's God's purpose for your life. Does that not sound like a big purpose? Like a weight? It's a big deal. That God uses us to open people's eyes, to literally help turn them from the power of Satan, the devil, and his work in the spiritual realms, and to have God's power on their side, cleansed of all of their sin. What a call. Guys, we have the honor to change people's eternal destinies.
Right.
It's incredible. That God wants to use you to save someone's eternity forever, never ending, there forever, that you're going to help change that. That is a gift.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what will. The fact that you get to save someone's forever, their eternity. You know, there is a lot, there's a lot of great missions and purposes out there outside of helping someone become a Christian. There is. Being a doctor, that's a purposeful job. You're saving lives, physical lives, right?
Right.
Being a lawyer, even just serving food for people, being a cook, maybe you serve food to homeless people, that's your profession. There's a lot of noble jobs out there. But none of those affect eternity.
Right.
None of them. And the world is investing way more in these careers and these purposes than eternity. And God's just like, what is going on down there?
Right.
You realize you're going to die, and none of that you can take with you. You can't take your degree with you. You can't take your money with you. And so why do you spend all your time on perishable things? I mean, I think God's mind is just boggled. He's like, I gave you Jesus. He told you everything. What's going on? You know, if the mission is the only thing that has eternal weight, then why do we spend so much of our time on non-eternal things?
Yeah.
Guys, we got to talk about this. Because this is our problem too. This is my problem. I have to work on this.
Yeah.
You know, some of y'all love Instagram a little too much. Some of y'all love your social media a little too much. It's consuming too much of your time. And hey, amen, we love vibes in this campus ministry, but we can't get caught up in trying to find a vibe all the time. I love you, Josh. I love you, Josh. I love you. I'm not preaching to Josh. Josh isn't the only one looking for vibes. But Josh, we appreciate you, bro. He verifies our vibes. It's awesome. But guys, don't let trying to find a vibe stop you from seeing through his eyes. Don't let that stop you. Because to keep it short, people in college, what are they looking for? Where's the good time? Where's the vibe? Where can I let loose? And we can't cave into that. We can show them how to have fun with Jesus, but how are you spending your time? Check your phone. Check what apps you're using, how long, during the day, during the week. Do it. If you want to find out, that probably will help you, at least get you started. But guys, the mission is so amazing. It demands the bulk of our weeks and of our time. Does it not? Right? But do you make time, like right now, and obviously yes in the fall too, but do you make time in the week for saving souls? Do you? And if not, do you feel good about that? As a follower of Jesus, who said, I've come to save the lost. Guys, we got to schedule that into our lives. Sharing our faith, Bible studies, praying for people, praying for your family, praying for people you're studying the Bible with, getting on your knees and just saying, God, please be with them, please help them repent, see your love, Jesus, come to know you, and you're just praying fervently for them. But is that your heart? Do you spend time in prayer for people that you know aren't going to heaven? Guys, God, he's saying to you, he says, I've appointed you a servant.
Yeah.
I've appointed you a servant that you've been called. You know, think about it this way. God took thousands of years to plan this plan of salvation, was patient with thousands of people to get to this part of his plan where we could be redeemed and forgiven. He's planned this time for there to be a church, the body of Christ. Sinners like us to be used by God to change people's eternal destinies. He spent so much time and effort and patience and energy on just giving people a second chance. But how much time do you spend? If he spent his everything composing and making this plan for us to be with him, don't you think we should give him some time too? If he's been so intentional that before you were born, he had this whole plan mapped out to buy you back.
Yeah.
Guys, that is love. That's incredible.
Yeah.
There's no plan B coming over the horizon. It's us.
Right.
It's us, guys. And that's an amazing mission to be on.
Mark.
Can I keep it real for a second?
Yeah.
I'll be vulnerable here. I am still in the process of preparing my heart for these next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm not where I want to be yet. And every fall, it's like I got to crucify myself all over again.
Yeah.
Anyone, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about, going into these kickoff weeks. I mean, it's like, Jesus, help me to see through your eyes. Every time the fall semester hits, I need to die to my selfishness, my comfort, my laziness, and I got to crucify my flesh. And this lesson has helped me prepare my heart. But guys, I mean, this is my job and I have a hard time with it. Like I said, yes, I want to do this for my life. And I am wrestling in prayer to have compassion on people. And they're paying me to do this. But I, in my heart, I don't want to. In my sinful nature, I don't want to. I don't want to go talk to a frat guy who looks not interested at all. And maybe is going to like just not give me any of his time. I don't want to go through that awkward scenario. But I will. Because he needs Jesus. I don't want to go share with 2,000 people these upcoming weeks. But I will. Because the reality of Scripture is that everyone needs a Savior. And they're looking for Jesus. And so you've got to deny your flesh. It doesn't matter what you're feeling. If you signed up to be a disciple, he said, feelings are out the door, man. Jesus said, deny yourself. And if you're feeling things, talk about it. Confess. But deny yourself. Amen? I'm just convinced of this simple but powerful truth that God wants all men to be saved. That's a statement. And so anyone you see, they're in that. That's all men.
Come on, Mark.
The gospel demands our time. It demands our hearts. I want to share about a cool moment. As we're coming in for a landing here, I want to share about a cool moment we had at the new brother's house. Because, like, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Maybe you do. Anyway, so, you know, we just moved into this new apartment in Montclair. It's like less than 10 minutes down the road. We're loving it. I moved in today. I'm tired. It was a long day. But we're in there, and I was there last night just hanging out. I couldn't wait. I was like, I just want to hang with you guys. And I'm trying to work on my lesson while these knuckleheads are like yelling and saying all this stuff. And I'm like, Lord, help me. Why did I stay here to work on this lesson? But as I'm like there, I'm at the table working on the lesson. I'm hearing the guys laughing, hearing them say, hey, can we talk? And they have these deep spiritual talks. And I'm like, this is why we do what we do.
Right.
This is why I'm about to deny myself.
Yeah.
It's because we would not know each other and for sure not be living with each other if it wasn't for denying ourselves and getting to know Jesus. And so we took this picture last night. And we got Andre with some cereal over here. Vinny's like poking in. And this is just the cribbage. And JD snuck in there. He lives with us. But I just look at this picture and I think about me and Ugo with Vinny on the stairs at the student center. This dude is going to like Usain Bolt past us. Like we were like, yo, hold up. We just want to invite you. He's like, all right, you got 2 minutes. We're like, what? But I remember me and Ugo and now we're living together for a little bit before he moves back. And I remember Matt telling me about his first studies with Dan Chacon. I'm like, who's Dan Chacon?
Yeah.
You know, and then I meet him like, man, this guy's amazing. And then you got Taj. Reached out this past spring at Montclair State. And I remember sitting in his first Bible study with Derek and looking at Derek like, yo, Derek's doing this now. He's making disciples. Let's go. I remember meeting Vinny. I walked past him like 5 steps and I was like, what are you doing? Yo! And I shared with him. And now we're living together. We're roommates. It's awesome. I remember meeting Andre. I saw Matt at the edge of Willie P. campus. He runs into him. I'm like, oh, he's actually talking about it. Maybe I should talk to this guy too. He stopped to talk to him. We're talking to Andre. Studied with him. He became a Christian. He's in Young Professionals now.
Amen.
JD and I have grown up together in youth and family ministry. We've known each other for a long time. And we're in this household now of guys that we never thought we would know. We never thought we would have met. But it's all because of Jesus. It's all because we denied ourselves. That's why we do what we do. And you can take your own picture probably tonight. I know you could with your own group. And maybe you should. Maybe it should be the background on your phone. I don't know. But that's beautiful right there. All different walks of life, different backgrounds, different struggles, honestly, very different interests. And we're brothers. Only because of Jesus, right? It's beautiful. It's amazing. Yeah. I want to give you guys some practicals here as we come in for a landing. Because we do just need some things that, hey, this will help you to be effective on a mission. You guys want these?
Yes.
I know you already see them, but I'm going to break them down a little bit more. So pray for greater faith.
Yes.
Faith changes the world, guys.
Yes.
Mustard seeds of faith. Pray that God will lead you to really believe that there are open people on your campus. And when you really believe that, your actions will match your faith.
Yes.
If you really believe, man, there's five women out there, or there's five guys out there that want to know Jesus, and you go share it, you're going to go meet them.
Yeah.
Number two, learn the Bible studies. Guys, we got to know the scriptures. Paul would not be talking to King Agrippa in that passage we just read if he didn't know the Bible, if he didn't know the scriptures. And so, let me just kind of take the pressure off you guys. You, in and of yourself, you cannot convert somebody.
Yeah.
But the scriptures can.
Yeah.
And any one of you can get to know the Bible.
Yeah.
But are you? Do you know how to tell somebody and how to help them see that they're not yet a true Christian, that they're not a follower of Jesus? Do you know how to build a friendship with somebody and help them fall in love with God? The Bible converts people's hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. We don't have to do it on our own. Third thing, set up studies on your own. As you're walking around campus, as you're meeting people these next couple weeks, take time. Don't just get their number. I mean, sometimes you might just have to do that and then follow up. But hey, if they're open, say, what are you doing next week? What are you doing a couple weeks from now? I'd love to sit down, get to know you. Let's do a Bible study. I'd love to show you some scriptures that show me how much God loves me.
Yeah.
Simple as that. But set up Bible studies. Amen?
Yeah.
And then lastly, a really simple thing, but it's world-changing. Share your faith every day.
Yeah.
Woo. Every day. Maybe you're just at the bookstore buying a book. And whoever's, you know, helping you check out. Right, we got some people that work at the bookstore right here. Let's go. And maybe that's it. Maybe you're just going to invite them out and say, hey, thank you so much for helping me buy these books. Let me tell you about Jesus. You know, maybe that's not a good intro line. But whatever you got to do to strike up a conversation, share your faith every day. If you want to multiply, you got to share it like a wild man or a wild woman.
Right.
You got to find worthy people. And let me just be clear on that. The time that you spend this semester, the people that you should spend time studying the Bible with, are people that actually want to know God.
Right.
Jesus says, yeah, go, but search for a worthy person. A worthy person. So that doesn't mean we should spend hours and hours each week with people that are really just, this is a joke. And they're just trying to make you not feel bad by showing up your Bible study. We got to look for people that are really broken, really searching for Jesus, and that's where they're at. And hey, you're going to meet some people, maybe they're not at a place like, yes, I want to know Jesus right now. It's okay. You know, sometimes I'll even if somebody's like, hey, yeah, I don't think right now I'll get your number or something like that. Or usually I just don't have a card on me because I just want to keep it more personal. But what I'll say, and I'm trying to say this more, is like, hey, listen, we might never see each other again. And I get right now, this is like totally not your thing. But what if, like, down the road in your life, it becomes this reality that you need God or you need faith? Mm-hmm. Just take my number. Just take it. Yeah. And when that moment comes, just hit me up. And just having that moment where you're like, you're giving them their best shot.
Yeah.
And if they still say no, amen, shake the dust off your feet, keep moving.
Yes.
But just give people that chance. Because it might be in December, at the end of the semester, they're like, hey, dude, I need God.
Right.
And you met them in September, and you're going to be like, hey, amen, I'm glad I persuaded them. Amen? So we got to be sharing our faith every day. But just to close out, and we're going to close out with one last song here in a second. But if there's anything that's really going to anchor us, guys, it's really what Jesus did for us on the cross. That he gave it all up for us, guys. He literally let us crucify him. He denied his flesh. He denied his sinful nature so that you could be saved. So that your sin could be removed. He died there on a cross so that you could be here tonight. He suffered so that you could go give people a second chance. And the Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Yeah.
While we were still powerless. And that kind of love right there, this love that even before creation, that God said, I want to buy them back. I know they're going to sin. I know they're going to hurt me, but I'm still going to send my son. I'm going to watch him suffer. I'm going to watch him die. I'm going to watch him cry out, Father, why have you forsaken me? But I'm still going to send Jesus, man, because I love my children so much. That moment on the cross, that's what we're sharing. That kind of love that I just described, people are looking for that.
Yeah.
People are looking for that love. And we get to go and bring it to them. Amen?
Amen?
Guys, let's see through his eyes. Let's pray for greater compassion. Let's be filled with his heart. Guys, let's go open people's eyes this semester. Amen?
Amen.
And help people go from the darkness to the light and be anchored in the mission. Guys, pray with me. Stand up as we pray together. We're going to transition into a final song here. Grab arm in arm. Let's link up together. I just want us to have a moment where we can just pray together right now and transition into worshiping our King. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, thank you for tonight, God. Thank you for this incredible family. I'm so grateful for each and every person here, God. Lord, who are we to be your sons and daughters, God? God, I pray that you will help us to save so many people from their destructive lives this semester, God. And as we sing this song, God, it says, let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. God, we pray and we ask you, Father, as one body, that we will experience the glory of your goodness this semester.
Yeah.
That we will show up here on Wednesday nights and just be like, what is going on? There are so many people here. There's so many awesome conversations going on that we will see you move among us, God. We beg you, God, to move in our ministry. Soften our hearts, God.
Yes.
We love you, Father. We love you so much, God. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's give it up for Mark.